God uses negatives to accomplish positives.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how God can take a situation headed for disaster and turn it in a whole different direction.
He's operating behind the scenes, even using bad, evil people and situations to move things forward in order to accomplish his will.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Life has a way of flipping upside down when we least expect it. But how do we know when those reversals are part of God's plan and when they're the result of our own flaws or failings? Today, we'll find out what to do either way as Dr. Evans takes us to the book of Esther. Let's join him.
If I were to bring you and your child a four-piece puzzle, it would be pretty easy to put it together. If I brought to you a 50-piece puzzle, take you a little longer, but you'd manage that okay. If I brought you a 500-piece puzzle, well, now that's going to be a little bit more complicated because there are a lot more pieces. Trying to match the protrusions with the indentations is going to take a moment to get it just right. If I brought you a 5,000-piece puzzle, you'd just walk away because it's just got like too many pieces. But what if I brought you a 50,000-piece puzzle? Better yet, what if I brought you a 500,000-piece puzzle? Better yet, what if I brought you a 5 million-piece puzzle or a 5 billion-piece puzzle? You would say, it's too much. I can't figure all of this out. Trying to figure God out, it's like a 5 billion-piece puzzle. It's too many pieces. And since his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, in our finite minds, trying to figure out infinity is a waste of time. To be sure, God has revealed a lot about himself in his word. But Deuteronomy 29:29 says, there are secret things you'll never figure out. In fact, it's going to take you forever to understand God. One of the reasons you're going to live forever is going to take you that long to make sense of this uncreated creator sustainer of all things. One drop of water contains 6 sextillion atoms. So you put together all the oceans, all the seas, all the rivers, all the lakes, and all the streams and the dams. If God lost track of one atom, he would no longer be God. I shared with you how the average head of hair has 100,000 strands on it. Multiply that times 7 billion people and you're in the octillions. And yet God says not one hair falls from one head of which he is not fully acquainted. Like I said, you don't know who you're dealing with. And this God who doesn't miss a microsecond or syllable of any subject that has known, is known, or will ever be known, is so brilliant in his capacity that he can take things that look totally unrelated, disconnected, and make sense out of them. He can put the puzzle together. There is no area where we really wish God would put a puzzle together than when we're going through a rough time and it doesn't make sense. We have done an attack through this series on the doctrine of luck. And luck is a doctrine because a lot of folk live by it. It's a doctrine. It's a teaching, chance, fate, happenstance. We got some folk, maybe there's some here, who ride in a car with a rabbit's foot hanging from their rearview mirror. Now, how lucky was that rabbit that couldn't even keep his foot? But when life goes left on us, particularly when It doesn't make sense when it seems unfair, when it's definitely wrong. And yet we're called to believe in this God who strings together the incomprehensible and make it make sense. Particularly tough when it's not going your way. We try to take matters illegitimately into our own hands to control our own circumstances, oftentimes only making them more messy. It's like the guy who was told by his doctor, you've got advanced rabies and you don't have long to live. He said, "Doc, you have a piece of paper and a pencil." Doctor gave it to him. He began writing. The doctor said, "What are you writing? You writing your will?" He said, "No, I'm writing all the people I want to bite." Because sometimes it just feels like if you don't take care of it, it won't be taken care of. Sometimes those battles can be within your own home, like the wife who wasn't too keen about her husband, and she was walking and she saw a frog trapped, and she released the frog and it turned to be a magical frog. And the frog said, "Because you released me, I will give you 3 wishes and I will double whatever you ask for your husband." He said, "Oh, okay, what's your first wish?" "I want $1 million." "Okay, you got $1 million, I'm gonna give your husband 2. "What's your second wish?" "I want to be the most beautiful woman in the world." "Well, I'm going to make you the most beautiful woman in the world, and I'll make your husband twice as handsome as any man in the world." "What's your third wish?" "Scare me half to death." "I'll wait. Take a little time." We are looking at the book of Esther, the only book in the Bible that never mentions God by name. And yet, his fingerprints are all over it, as we've already seen. Esther has discovered that she's been placed in her position for a spiritual reason, not merely for personal benefit. Mordecai, her cousin, has said, "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, that God's whole plan in making you pretty, God's whole plan in you being chosen out of all the possible females in the kingdom, God's whole plan was that you would be here at this time for this moment for his kingdom purpose." And she, after thinking about it for a moment, said, "Okay, I'm going to go to the king and tell him about Haman's plan to destroy all the Jews, and if I perish, I perish." She now prepares dinner for the king and invites Haman, the architect of genocide, because she's ready to tell the king and spill the beans on him at the dinner banquet. The king says to her, as we saw last time, Esther, chapter 5, verse 6, what did you have to tell me? Esther says, "My petition and my request is..." And she stops. She doesn't get it out. She can't say it. She backs off. She says, "My request is for you to have dinner again with me tomorrow." Something happened that caused her to pause in her request for deliverance. The question is, why did she stop? Why didn't she just come out and say it? I mean, she began the whole sentence, "My petition is," and then she backed up. Let me explain something about God. God not only wants you to do the right thing, he wants you to do the right thing at the right time. Timing matters to God. He does things with precision, not only related to events, but related to time. There were a number of other things that God wanted to happen to set the stage for what God wanted to do that had not yet happened. If Esther would have finished the sentence at that time, those things in the planning of God would not have occurred in the sequence God wanted them to occur. And therefore, although she was going to do the right thing, it was the wrong time. Because you see, as we looked at chapter 6 last time, Haman is going to leave a presence. He's going to run across Mordecai. Mordecai will not bow. That's going to tick Haman off. Haman's going to go ticked off to his wife. His wife is going to say, "You don't have to take that. You don't have to take that." He comes in and he says, "Everything is going good for me, but this Jew guy, he won't bow to me. Well, you don't have to take that. Why don't you put him on the gallows tomorrow?" Haman said, "That's really great. I'm going to put him on the gallows tomorrow, get rid of this guy, solve it once and for all." The king goes to bed. The king can't sleep. The king is tossing and turning. When the king is tossing and turning, he tells the servant, "Go get a boring book for me to read so that when I read the boring book, I will go to sleep." So they bring him the boring book, and by luck, they just happened to turn to the page that dealt with Mordecai. Mordecai had saved the king's life earlier. The king wants to know, what did we do for the guy who saved my life? No, we didn't do anything for the guy who saved my life. As chance would have it, Haman comes in right when the king is talking to the servant about Mordecai, who had saved his life. And the king asks, "Well, what should I do, Haman, with somebody who saves the king's life?" But he doesn't mention the name Mordecai. Because he doesn't mention the name Mordecai, Haman thinks he's talking about him. So Haman says, "Well, what you ought to do with the guy who saves your life is make him number two in the kingdom, so he's the heir apparent to the rule." "Well, I like that idea. Why don't you go ahead and get Mordecai so I can put him in that position? And why don't you lead his horse throughout the land and proclaim him as second in command?" It just so happened that during the pause, which produced the delay, which produced the movement, which produced Mordecai's rejection, which produced Haman's angry wife, which produced Haman wanting to put the gallows together, which produced a sleepless night, which produced a boring book, which produced the name Mordecai, which produced not mentioning his name, which produced him being elevated, which produced Haman having to take him across through the street, which produced God, the puppet master, pulling things together to bring about his timing. And in order for that to happen, to set the stage for what will happen, God had to create a pause.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more advice about recognizing God's hand in life's ups and downs when he continues this message in just a moment. Stay with us.
Sacked again. 25 yards from a first down and you're 6 points behind. No more timeouts. The clock's running out. You got one more play. Dr. Tony Evans says that's not just an exciting football game. It's what life feels like sometimes. The other team's bigger, stronger. You're losing ground and losing heart. It's almost game over. And then, in his brand new book, Pathways, Tony explains how God uses every circumstance in your life, good or bad, to move you toward victory.
God may put you in a bad situation so that he gives you a supernatural deliverance.
You'll learn to recognize the invisible hand of God pulling all the right strings in your life, connecting you with the power of divine providence in the midst of your personal pain, fear, failure, and loss. You'll come out equipped to connect the dots and discover that God has you where you are for a reason. Pathways, from Providence to Purpose. Brand new from Dr. Tony Evans.
We'd like you to have a copy of this brand new resource as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help keep this program coming your way. And if you contact us right away, we'll also include all 6 full-length CDs in Tony's current teaching series on Esther. The Alternative is 100% listener supported, so it's no exaggeration when we say that every gift is vitally important, no matter the size. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org. Let us know we can count on your help and make the arrangements to get this special double offer before time runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by ready to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
The job of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is to release you or restrict you from movement. God has a beeper system inside every believer who is in contact with him, fellowship with him, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's job is to let you know not only what to do, but when to do it. He is a God of timing. That's why Acts chapter 11, verse 12 says, Peter says, I was released by the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, apostles say we were restrained by the Holy Spirit. It's when God won't let you go forward. I think I should, but something's holding me back. You ever been there? But something's holding you back from saying it right now, or something's holding you back from going there right now, or something is holding you back from doing it right now, and you wonder what it is. Now, if you don't have a spiritual antenna, you won't pick this up. If you don't have a spiritual antenna, that's why the Bible says that only those who are spiritual will be able to perceive such things. So if you are a secular Christian with secular thinking, if you're a natural man, if you're a natural woman, then you'll be messing up God's program for your life, because you'll be moving when he doesn't want you to move, or not moving when he does want you to move, because you don't know how to pick up heaven's signal. Your receiver is turned off, even though you may own one. It is the illuminating work of the Spirit of God. Now, let me explain something about God. We said it, but it's all through this book. God uses negatives to accomplish positives. God even uses the devil to achieve his righteous goals. So you know, if God uses the devil, he will use devilish people. The book of Esther is designed to show you that even when God is nowhere to be found, his name is not in the book, he's operating behind the scenes, even using bad, evil people and situations to move things forward in order to accomplish his will. And when he does it, it is normal, watch this, for him to do it suddenly. Because everything that you're reading here is happening within 24 hours. This is one day. After many years of waiting. So after many years of waiting, bam, suddenly. I love this word in scripture, because this is about waiting on God. Waiting on God means waiting on him to put things together like he wants it put together until it is ready. And when it is ready, you ever been in a hurry with your kids, like I was with my kids when they were growing up, and you didn't have time to cook a big breakfast, so you did Pop-Tarts. Sometimes they pop up, but they're not ready. They pop up, but it's not brown, it's not crisp. So what you got to do, you got to push it back down again, because just because it popped up, don't mean it's ready. See, we want to pop up. God, I'm ready. God said, you ain't done. Whoop. Situation's not finished. Whoop! You ain't toasted yet. Whoop! 2 Chronicles 29, verse 36 says the people were surprised at how God moved so suddenly. I wish I could tell you what the waiting game is in the plan of God. I cannot tell you, because there are too many pieces of this puzzle. There are too many people. There are too many things going on. What I can tell you is you will know when God shows up, bam, because it'll be suddenly. In so many unexpected ways. Yeah, sometimes God lets it get worse before he lets it get better. Sometimes he takes you all the way to the end. He takes you to rock bottom so you can discover he's the rock at the bottom. I remember in seminary, we weren't going to make it. Our family was not going to make it financially. It was not working out. I remember around breakfast that day, I asked my wife, what would you want God to do to say that we should keep going? And she said, well, we desperately need $500. We desperately, because we're not going to make it for food, for just basics. We're not going to make it. So I drove to school that day and said, God, we don't have anything, and we're not going to make it. Every day I walked to my mailbox. This day, this Friday, I walk to the mailbox. There's an envelope. I pull out the envelope. There's no name on it. So I don't know who the envelope is from. I unseal the envelope. And there are five $100 bills in the envelope. With no name. Just five $100 bills. Not 400, not 600, 500. Years later, a gentleman comes up to me. He says, back there, when you were a student, God put your name on my mind. And God spoke to me and told me to give you a financial gift of $500. God put it on my mind. Now, this man is over here. I don't know this man. I have no relationship to this man. I've not requested anything, but let me explain how God works. He can go over here and whisper. He can hear me praying over here. He can reach over here, point over here, make me come over here and connect things so that he lets you know in the nick of time. You don't know who you're dealing with. Yes, God often backs us up so that we don't know what's going on, in order that we might discover he alone is God. But if your antenna is not up, if you walk in secular, think in secular, if human wisdom guides your decision making, you won't pick up the signals and you will miss the movement, because that is the Holy Spirit's job.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a thought about where to find the hope we need to hold on during hard times. You'll want to stay with us for that. But first, don't forget that his current series on Esther is available on CD as our thank you gift for your contribution of any size to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get his brand new book called Pathways that I told you about earlier. As always, the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. There's a group Bible study guide available, too, so be sure to check it out. Also, be sure to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional and get information on an upcoming movie event you won't want to miss. On April 29th and 30th, Dr. Evans will be teaming up with Fathom Events to present Kingdom Men Rising, a powerful look at how men can stop making excuses and start being the leaders God intended them to be. You'll get to meet Tony's dad and learn about their special relationship. Also featured will be Kirk Franklin, Troy Vincent, Tony Dungy, John Kitna, and others. Again, Kingdom Men Rising is coming to a select theater near you on April 29th and 30th. Or if there is no theater near you, maybe your church could plan on hosting a special showing. Either way, tonyevans.org is the place to go for more information. Our resource center is always open to help you as well. Just call us at 1-800-800-3222, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. We're all comfortable with the idea of the Lord getting us out of trouble. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about what may be happening when God intentionally lets us get into it. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's program.
One of the great things all of us need in life is hope. Hope is expectation about the future, that things will be better where I'm going than where I am or where I've come from. And the greatest hope that's given to us by God is the hope of eternal life. That when this life is over, we immediately enter into God's presence and don't have to worry about the scourge called death. So if you want to bypass death, you can do that, because there's the hope of the gospel. The good news that anyone who comes to Christ for salvation, recognizing their sinfulness and their need for forgiveness, will be given that salvation when they come to Jesus for it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.